Our special speaker this morning is well known to all of us. Brother John Longdon was born in England. We feel particularly close to Brother Longdon in the MIA because his wife, Sister LaRue Longdon, is a member of the General Presidency of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association. Brother Longdon has been active in the church. He was a missionary to the Central States. He's been a bishop and held many important positions in the church, and at the present time, as you know, is assistant to the Council of the Twelve. In business, he's a very successful businessman as general manager of the Westinghouse Electric Supply Company. He's been president of the Bonneville Knife and Fork Club, vice president of the Salt Lake Rotary Club, and many other civic and community organizations. He is a gifted singer, has a beautiful voice. I'm not sure whether he's going to demonstrate it today, but he is noted for his ability to sing. And so we welcome Brother Longdon. We're just sorry that Sister Longdon is not able to be with him here this morning. Brother Longdon.
I do appreciate your kindness this morning. This is a marvelous occasion. I'm so grateful to be here. It seems like these occasions roll around quite often, and I can't pass the buck, apparently, like President Wilkinson does and President Romney. I haven't learned as much about the old army game as they have, apparently. But I assure you, I do love to come back here and to be with the youth. It reminds me of a story that Brother Matthew Cowley used to tell. A man had a racehorse. He always entered it in the various derbies and races that came along. Never won anything. Finally, one day, a gentleman said to him, "Why do you always want to enter that horse into the race that never wins?" He says, "Oh, I just like to see it lather up in good company." Well, I like to lather up in good company, and that's why I love to come back to BYU over and over again. This morning, this is sort of a dual gathering with the students of this great institution and also the visitors from out of town and some from our own state who are participating in this great MIA basketball senior tournament and college tournament. I'm so grateful as I reflect upon this program for the enlightenment that came in this, the dispensation of the fullness of time, to the prophet Joseph Smith. Enlightenment in cultural development. Enlightenment in education. Enlightenment in the drama. In music. In sports. And he was a great athlete himself. Enlightenment particularly in the spiritual things. And underlying this great program of MIA is naturally the spiritual development. Underlying all these programs in this institution is the spiritual growth and the strength of testimony that can come to individuals. And it is something that the world is looking for today. I'm grateful, combined with this opportunity of exercise and development in these sports, that we also find the principles of integrity and honesty. I was in Snowflake, Arizona just 2 weeks ago this coming weekend, and that Saturday evening the team went down to Mesa. They won the district finals. They came back with the trophy, but not only did they have the trophy of championship, but they had a trophy for sportsmanship. And to me, that is much more important. So I salute the Snowflake team who are still in, and I'm sure that is the feeling that is engendered in all these teams and in all these athletic events. Now I say to each of you this morning, are you doing the best you can? Are you thinking the most important thing you could be thinking? Are you doing the most important thing you could be doing? Reflect upon and meditate upon those two questions and ask yourselves repeatedly each day as you go about your labors and as you go about your studies, and I'm sure those studies are labors to some of you anyway. I think of a story that was told to me by an FBI man in charge of the Salt Lake office a short while ago. This happened up in the Northwest. Here was a man that went into the Northwest, scheming, conniving. He got a group of farmers together in that wonderful apple orchard country, and he said, how do you get your laboring men to come in and harvest your crops? And they told him some of their problems, and he said, well, now why don't you contract with me, and then I will take the responsibility. We'll come in and make the harvest. You settle with me, and I'll take care of paying them. So he sold them a bill of goods, and he went down to the waterfront and got in some of the fellows that hadn't been accustomed to working, but he made it so attractive to them, this material gain, that they decided they would go along with him. And so in 2 weeks' time, the harvest had been all gathered. He was paid by the cooperative group of farmers. And then he paid these men off in his own personal checks. And they bounced. Then he was in serious trouble with the FBI and the United States government. And they had a tip that he was headed on a bus for some place in the Middle West. So they had two of their agents meet the bus, and as he stepped off, they had a picture. They knew who he was and called him by name, and he said, oh no, you've got the wrong fellow. There's another one with the same name as I have in this country, but you've got the wrong fellow. Oh no, we haven't. But anyway, to make a long story short, they got him before the judge, and the judge gave him 25 years. And he says, judge, I can't serve 25 years. Why can't you serve 25 years? Because I'm 70 years old now. And then the judge gave him a very significant reply. Well, do the best you can. Now, are you doing the best you can with all the tools at hand, with all the opportunities and privileges which are yours? My, you have great privileges and opportunities in this wonderful church. Basketball is pretty hard to beat for exercise, isn't it? It combines two forms of recreation, falling down and getting up. Many of us fall down, but we have an opportunity to get up again. I've often said, don't let them count 10 over you. Be up before the count of 10. Don't be a quitter. There are many that recognize this program of ours. Here's an editorial in the Journal American, Chicago, Saturday, February the 6th, 1960, just a year ago. Speaking of youth fitness, and we are hearing a lot about that today. We combine all of youth fitness, not just the physical, not just the material, but the educational and the spiritual. Almost 90 years ago, the editorial says, the Mormon Church started a mutual improvement association, one of the earliest youth movements in the country. Today, the MIA has some 370,000 young folks on its rolls. Well, that number has increased by now. The headquarters at Salt Lake City and 3,000 wards or branches elsewhere. Being held now at the headquarters, a series of 12 Sunday evening programs which are broadcast to other communities. As an indication of scope and interest, the MIA has 9,000 choruses, 12,000 selected youngsters, stage an annual dance festival, and MIA holds the world's largest basketball, volleyball, and softball tournaments. Youth fitness has become one of our most important movements. Some other denominations and non-religious organizations, too, might increase their own participation by learning from the Mormons. That's not a paid advertisement. And it isn't a Mormon newspaper. Yes, we need to pause and ponder and meditate on the glorious privileges and opportunities which are ours. Then I say, what is being developed by way of integrity and thoughtfulness? There is a prayer in my heart this morning. Oh God, always help me to be thankful and to be mindful of the source of all my blessings and recognize the privilege which is mine to share with others. I listened to a story that came out of the junior basketball tournament a few days ago. There were sufficient young men in one ward that there could be five teams, but there could only be enough selected to make up one team. And then they told how these young men were thinking not only of themselves in the tournament, but they were thinking of those left at home which couldn't come into this great competitive tournament. I say enlightenment that has been given to us in this day. I wonder how many Master M men there are here this morning. Would you please stand? Let me feast my eyes upon you for just a moment. All Master M men. Wonderful. How many golden gleaner girls? Thank you very much. I might say for our visitors that the age limit is what? 29. 29. So you can see these young folks are not that age as yet. That's why we don't have so many standing. But I recommend this program to everyone who has membership within the church. What does it entail? A member in good standing, living an honest, virtuous, and upright life, observing the law of chastity, the law of moral cleanliness, learning to have the power of self-control. And as our prophet today, President David O. McKay, has put it very beautifully, to develop the power of self-mastery. I love that expression. Yes, we must not commit sin by even evil thinking. Another requirement, active in priesthood and auxiliary work. The young men hold the priesthood, the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to act and officiate in ordinances pertaining to the salvation of mankind. The authority which gives each individual who holds it the right to legitimately, if you please, officiate in those ordinances in the name of Jesus Christ, not having usurped it. The opportunity of expression through the auxiliary organizations, the primary, the mutual, young men's and young women's, the Sunday school, where we may continue to receive this inspiration and growth. And that was the word of the Lord. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then another requirement, attendance at sacrament meeting, where we have an opportunity to partake of the broken bread representing the broken flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, and drinking the water which represents His blood which was shed for us, an opportunity to renew our covenants, to receive a spiritual inspiration, or I like to call it a spiritual refreshment, if you please, by partaking of those emblems, that we acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. Not just a myth, not just a great teacher. And His strength in the eyes of the world is being diminished each day as you analyze and converse and read that which is printed and that which you hear. Next, comply with the law of tithing, proving again our unselfishness, giving to the Lord one-tenth of that which we earn, returning to Him one-tenth of the hundredth part which He gives unto us. And then next, the word of wisdom. We believe in observing the word of wisdom. And the Lord spoke of this in the 89th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. But there are others in this great country of America that believe that these things mentioned in the word of wisdom, such as tea, coffee, liquor, and tobacco, are not good for the body, not members of our church. I have an editorial here, "All Americans and Alcohol." 21 top-ranking players listed as All-Americans in a single year in the great football teams of the past go on record with this advice to fellow Americans: champions don't drink. It is interesting to see the comments of some of them. Charles Justice of North Carolina, for instance, said, "I firmly believe that no youngster will ever reach the top who feels that he can drink intoxicating beverages in any form. Since my Sandlot football days, I have never played under a coach who tolerated drinking on his squad." Another one from Minnesota: "I have been grateful many times that I had kept myself in good condition, for by so doing, I have been able to play up to the limit of my ability. This is an impossibility for anyone who tears himself down physically through the use of alcohol." Another one at Notre Dame: "It is absolutely necessary for an athlete to abstain from bad habits to keep his body in good physical condition." Another from Michigan: "Refrain from all types of alcohol. It really isn't smart to drink." I love Sister Longdon's phrase: "It's smart to be a Latter-day Saint, but it isn't smart to drink." I salute this man, not of our faith, who has made such a daring statement in what is going on in the world today, when four times as much is being spent for alcohol than for religious worship and welfare programs. People admire one who can say no thank you to all forms of temptations. All forms of temptations. Take my word for it. Those who lead clean, wholesome lives have a far greater chance to become successful in the things they strive for, whatever they be. Another one in the Army said, "I believe that no one should indulge in drinking to see some nice young person, or an old one for that matter, making a fool of himself or tearing down his body is very disheartening." Another: "I appreciate this opportunity to caution youth of the nation against the use of alcohol. It serves no good purpose to the teenager except to degrade him physically, morally, and socially." There are many more. I won't take the time to read them. But we know what the Lord has said in the 89th section of the Doctrine and Covenants: "Verily thus saith the Lord, in consequence of evils and designs which do," that is when the revelation was given, "which do and will exist," and that brings me down to March 22nd, 1961, "which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men I, the Lord, have warned you and forewarned you by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation. And then I am grateful also for the promise in that revelation that we will be blessed with treasures of knowledge. We must work for it. We must do the best we can each day and take each day as a new day and not worry about yesterday or tomorrow, but take this day which is in our hands. Yes, we have been taught to be honest with ourselves. Getting away from the materialism, I recognize we must work for a livelihood, and that's what you are preparing for. But there must constantly be that balance of spirituality. Theodore Roosevelt recognized it. Surely all of us ought to realize the need in this country of a loftier idealism than we have had in the past. And the further and even greater need that we should in actual practice live up to the ideals we profess. And who should be living up to the ideals that we profess anymore? Or as much as we who have membership in this great church. The things of the body have a rightful place and a great place, but the things of the soul should have an even greater place. Materialism in the end eats like an acid into all the finer qualities of our souls. When we become unbalanced, when we seek to lay up these things which can be destroyed by moth and rust. I have an item from Boris Pasternak, the man who refused the Nobel Prize for Literature on pain of exile from his beloved country because he loved the country in which he had been born and raised. Here's what he had to say on the subject. Is religion really necessary? He asked the question, and then he answers it, yes. I think that man will always strive to find a meaningful form of worship. I was born a Jew. My family was interested in music and art and paid little attention to religious practice because I felt an urgent need to find a channel of communication to the Creator. We have that channel of communication, I testify to you. I was converted to Russian Orthodox Christianity. But try as I might, I could not achieve a complete spiritual experience. Thus, I am still a seeker. Some people tell me that religion won't make any progress until the world has solved its practical problems. But I believe we shall find it is the other way around. Well, I have many more that I could give you. One from Clifford Hood, president of the United States Steel Corporation. I think no one will seriously challenge me if I say that we have been living in a period of unbelief, a serious unbelief in the fundamental purposes of man and his importance and position in the universe. All who have lost the faith, I believe, feel a real void in their lives with no positive code of values. Their lives have lost a feeling of significance in this cosmic environment. In all humility and sincerity, we shall have to admit a power higher than ourselves, from whom is derived a positive moral code that will give our lives significance. We shall have to make up our minds once and for all that honesty, respect, and honor as such are not for sale on the market block, except as they become ingredients that you and I and all Americans put into the products of our daily lives, doing the best we can. Increasing the enlightenment and the knowledge and our talents that the Lord has blessed us with. In conclusion, may I give you just another thought or two. When I think of the athletic field, I salute today this great faculty of this institution, their accomplishments in all the fields that I have mentioned. And we have individuals over the world now who stand out in all of these fields, any that you desire to mention. But inasmuch as this is somewhat a theme of exercise and sport, I should like to mention just two individuals. One is Vern Law, the pitcher of the Pittsburgh Pirates of the National League. They call him Deacon. That is his players or compatriots. I have known Vern Law for 6 years or better. He is maintaining the standards and ideals of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, unashamed, regardless of where his activities may take him or with whom he associates, and he allows them the same privilege as he desires of himself to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. And I could give you many interesting stories, but time will not permit. There is one profession which I cannot cotton to too much because of the influences that seem to surround it, and that is the fighting profession. But I think of Gene Fulmer and the good that he is accomplishing in speaking with youth groups throughout the church, and that he is maintaining the standards and ideals of the church. And I'd just like to give you this thought in conclusion. When he was interviewed on television by Hack Miller in Salt Lake after he won the championship, and Hack said to him, "What would you have, or what would you give, what message would you give to the young people of America?" And he said, "I would have the young people of America listen to this message tonight. Do not do anything that you would be ashamed to have your mother see you do." Now here's the tough old slugger in the ring that puts on the gloves. That's not quite the form, I'm sure. Do you think he's a sissy? If you want to call him that, you go ahead. I'll stay my distance. He's a he American man. But yet he has recognized the true code, the true values. And then he said, "I would admonish all to live the golden rule." Now, young people, you have it within your power to labor with your hands. One who labors with his hands is a laborer. One who labors with his hands and his mind is a craftsman. One who labors with his hands, his mind, and his heart is an artist. And all of us, certainly in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have the opportunity and the right to be artists as we work for it each day and each hour and minute of the day. God bless us so to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.